Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 18th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, the first portion of the .NET Weekly interview with former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts. Non-members, please note that you are going to be hearing the first 15-20 minutes of this interview. The rest of the interview, which is slated to go over an hour, will be available exclusively to .NET members in the .NET Weekly audio show. For membership information, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Click into the sign-up area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options available. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can also save money by signing up for either the six-month or annual membership option. That annual membership option whittles $2 off the price per month, bringing it down to an average of $5.50 per month. And if you have questions on this, shoot me an email at .NETJason@gmail.com. or reach out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. With the business out of the way, here is my interview with Justin Roberts. Welcome to the .NET Weekly Audio Show for Thursday, May 18th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, joined today by former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts, the author of Best Seat in the House, Your Backstage Pass Through My WWE Journey, which, Justin, you and I were talking before we went on. Apparently, it's now available in the UK after some delay.
As of today, it's officially out in the UK. I think they got books a couple of weeks ago, and they're finally able to be delivered. So it's a very exciting day. I'm happy that everybody in the UK now has access to it.
I didn't even realize that was the case until .NET staffer Hayden Gleed, who is in Wales, so he's a UK guy, reached out and said, I can't wait to see read this book. I haven't had a chance yet because it's not available. So good news, Hayden, and everyone else in the UK. You can now find it, as he said, on Amazon and elsewhere. Let's kind of start there in terms of you could have self-published this book, and I'm curious why you chose to kind of take a different approach to it, go through an actual publishing company. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I guess I'm just kind of, as an outsider looking in, wondering what the different options entail.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. I knew that I wanted to tell my story, and I started working on it a long time ago. And when I started working on it, I didn't have the finish line in sight, so I had no idea what I was going to do once I had something written. And then as I left the company and as I started putting more into the book, then I started looking around like, okay, how am I going to do this? And the book process is a book in itself. I had tried to find an agent because I was told that's what you need, a literary agent, in order to publish a book. So started looking for agents, and that was a long process, and finally had somebody, and we started talking, and then we went back and forth, and then he wanted me to get a ghostwriter, just a co-author, to work with me. He said that the book would do better if I had that. Okay. And then we started shopping the treatment. And there were a lot of publishers out there that had relationships with WWE, and they didn't want to put something out there that was, I guess, dishonest. And as time went on, I had said, hey, did you talk to this publisher because they did this wrestling book, or this publisher because they did this wrestling book? And it wasn't like, oh, no, but I'll reach out to them. It was, well, I never heard of them. No, I never heard of them. So it didn't seem like he was really trying to get it to everybody out there. It was just certain ones, and kind of giving up if he didn't get it to them. So we ended up parting ways, and then I said, okay, well, do I publish this myself? Do I self-publish? Or do I try to find a publisher on my own? So then I tried finding a publisher on my own. And when you're not represented by an agent, that is very difficult. And again, ran into a lot of companies that just didn't want to go down this route because the book was very honest, very fair. I just assumed I would self-publish it to get it out there. And I had a couple of friends who were like, don't give up. This is too good. You need to get a publisher. You need to get it out there. When you have a publisher, I just figured, this way it could be out, like, if I self-publish, maybe it'll be on Amazon. But if I work with a publisher, it could go out worldwide and be in bookstores. And my hopes were that it would be in airports and Walmarts and Targets and Barnes & Noble. So I kept reaching out and didn't give up. Got lots of rejection. Lots of people just didn't respond. And then there was one publisher who was really interested, and we started talking, and that's what happened. So I signed the deal with them. I said, I just want to make sure you guys aren't going to change the story. And they said, no, we edit punctuation, grammar, but it's your story to tell. So if you read the book, you know it's not a – it doesn't sound like a – I don't want to say it doesn't sound like a professional author, but it sounds like somebody is just talking to you. And a lot of people tell me that. And that's really the best compliment I could get, is it sounds like we're having a conversation. So published it so it would get out in more places. And it's a really long answer to your question. I apologize for that.
No, not at all. You mentioned the idea of a ghostwriter. So was there a ghostwriter by the time all was said and done?
Not at all. There was a ghostwriter while I was talking to that agent while he was representing me. If he sold the book, then the guy was going to work with me. I really, really disliked that idea, though. Everything I wrote, you know, it was from the heart. It was true. And when he first came on board to work on the treatment, he started taking some creative liberties and changing up stories for the treatment. And I just said, no, I don't want anything in here that isn't true. So if somebody approaches me and says, hey, how come you said this in the book? This never happened. I didn't want that. And so as soon as I went my separate ways with the agent, that deal ended as well with the ghostwriter. So he never ended up touching the book. He helped me work on the treatment, and then that was it.
Well, I think it's a testament to you that, I even had to ask that question. I wouldn't have known. You basically went Mick Foley with the book by just doing it yourself. That's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to make sure everything was the way that it went. That's the way to put it.
Now, okay, there's been it was a really timely release in that there's a lot of discussion about some of the bullying you put up with during your WWE run, and at the same time, of course, everything happened with, may or may not have happened, with JBL, Mauro Ranallo, that whole situation. And so a lot of that has been, it worked out in the sense that people were hearing, or maybe, you know, hearing you talk about that, or the excerpts were out there. It just was something that was in the news. It was topical, and I'm sure it worked to your advantage. But one thing I came away from the book feeling like, yeah, that's some of the story. That's certainly not the whole story. So maybe for people in the UK, or just people who haven't picked up the book yet, when they ask you to describe your book, what do you tell them? What is your autobiography about?
It tells my story. It's a very honest story that covers everything from just becoming a huge fan, getting bit by the wrestling bug, getting hooked into professional wrestling, and then taking a step further and dabbling in it and wanting to be a part of it, and then taking that a step further and wanting to actually go to WCW or WWF and wanting to go to the big leagues, and the journey of trying to do that and everything I did along the way. And then once I got to WWE, what it was like, what happened, what I went through, which is where the bullying stuff comes up, which, you know, I was brought up in all those interviews, but they're referencing stuff that happened in 2003. And then it got better, you know, got a lot better, enter Tommy Dreamer. And then the adventure from everything past 2003 to 2014, and my final night in the company, and then just kind of how things ended. It takes you on the full journey, and there's a lot of people that I work with at the company who, they were really eager to read, especially towards the end. They wanted to know stuff from recent times. I told all of them, I said, just, if you can, read it from the beginning, because you really get a sense of what it's like to walk in my shoes. You understand what I'm feeling in October of 2014 because you've been there for every step of the way, all these other things that were happening as I went. And by the time we get to October 2014, that's how you know that, like, I was ready to be done, and you understand why. Most people won't understand why, but when you read the story, okay, that makes sense. I get that.
Do you feel a need to kind of get the word out that, hey, people, this isn't like some dirty, sleazy tell-all book. You know, because I just, with the timing of it and what people have focused on, like I say, that it's there's no part of it that feels dirty, sleazy. It feels like you're telling your story, but I can see how people out there might, if they haven't read the book, might assume based on some of the excerpts that have been out there and things that this is, yeah, it falls into that category.
Yeah, people always, there's a lot of people who will refer to it as a tell-all, and I say it's not a tell-all. It's just an honest story, and people aren't used to that because most things out there are sugar-coated, and you know, nobody wants to burn a bridge, especially the bridge that really can never be burnt to that company. And it's not going after them, and it's not saying, you know, I hate them. It's nothing like that. It's just, hey, this is my story. These are the characters that were part of my path, and this is what happened with this person, this is what happened with that person. And it's just an honest story. And if people want to refer to it as a tell-all, I think that kind of sounds sleazy, and it's not like that. It's just,
right.
If people really want to know what it's like for a kid to be a huge wrestling fan and go and try to get in there, and then once you're there, to work there. And I remember hearing Booker T talk about on his show, and he mentioned that I wrote a book about bullying. I didn't write a book about bullying. I wrote my story, and it involved some bullying and different aspects, and that's what it was. So for people who just read the headlines, and especially with interviews, because when you do these interviews and you talk about all the positive things that you're able to do, I was able to work with all these stars that I grew up watching. I was able to announce at all these cool pay-per-views and all these neat countries. It's just a neat story about a kid chasing and living his dream. And then when you do the interviews, what did you think about Triple H? What did you think about JBL? Like, those answers are the ones that they run with that make the headlines, and you don't really read about all the positive stuff. It's just focused on the negative. So I get that that's what people want to click on, but at the same time, it's just something that covers everything.
And there probably is an audience out there just going, oh, damn, it's not that. There's definitely people who want that type of thing. But, I mean, you did a great job.
For those people, they do get to go backstage, and they
right.
get to see everything honestly, because I talk about everything. I don't think I really hold back on anything.
Well, one of the things I noticed is that you were on the road with the company all those years. There's not the tales of wrestler drunken debauchery or, you know, whatever the case may be, any womanizing, anything like that. So in your mind, when you were kind of laying out the book, were you mindful of, okay, I want to kind of include some, I want to tell my story, but I don't need to include this as part of it?
You know what? I just never thought about it. It wasn't like, I guess it just didn't go with the story. I just wanted to tell my story of everything that happened. And when telling other stories, there was just no need to talk about somebody getting drunk and doing something stupid. I mean, we all do that. We're all human.
That
should be in a book. I don't know. And I'm sure I've probably got a ton of like drunk stories that are funny and would be okay in the book. I don't know. There's a lot of content, and there's still to this day a lot of stories that I didn't put in there. So, you know, it's not because I didn't want to. It's just it didn't go. I tried to stick with, you know, what went with the story.
And you touched on it earlier. You said it sounds like you started realizing that you wanted to do this process, this project, while you were within WWE. So exactly, take me through that. When did you kind of figure, hey, there might be a good book here, to the point that you really became serious about this? Were you a note taker or even an audio guy like Bret Hart was?
Years ago, I pitched a story to WWE Magazine. I told them, like, hey, I used to go to the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago and watch wrestling, and my cousin was a security guard and would take me backstage, and I have all these pictures with a lot of the guys who now I've worked with, and I know that people like this story in other publications, and I think it would be a cool story to tell the wrestling world, because this is the audience that would definitely appreciate a wrestling story. And I went back and forth with them, And the guy who's, I think he's the editor, just didn't have a clue. He really didn't. And he goes, maybe we'll do like a how-to. I go, how-to? He goes, yeah, you know, like we have the guys like how to lift weights and how to, maybe we'll have you do a how-to something like cook or, and I go, no, I don't think you're getting this. Like, here's the story. I was a big wrestling fan and I was always dreaming of working here and now I'm here and there's these pictures working with these guys and, you know, last year and here's pictures of me posing with them when I was 12 years old. And I think that's your story. And he just, he wasn't biting. So I knew that they weren't going to tell the story for me. So I'd have to tell it myself. And just kind of kept that in the back of my head. And I go to the gym. I do a lot of thinking in the gym. That's where I'm kind of on autopilot. And I let my mind wander. And that's where I get ideas and do a lot of thinking. So there are times where I just remember being at the dumbbell rack and thinking of a funny story from the road. And another story popped in my head. And I just thought to myself, these are two really funny stories. If I ever write a book, I should remember to talk about this and this. And so I made a note in my phone. And then I kept making notes in my phone as funny things popped up in my head or interesting things popped up in my head. I made a note in my phone. And I was just making notes, no desire to start writing a book. Really busy. The road was really busy, 52 weeks a year. Wasn't getting a lot of sleep. I didn't want to start writing until I had a long flight from Phoenix to Boston going to the Survivor Series. And I was trying to stay awake. So I pulled out my laptop and I said, I'm just going to start writing a book. And I also thought about writing a movie. And I had worked with Dreamer when we were on the road together. And then I was riding with Morrison. And then I'm like, hey, I'm working on this thing, trying to make this happen. What do you think? Being the computer. I think Dolph was in on that too. Just at different times, I would share this with different guys and just try to write this movie. And some of the elements were taken from my story. Okay, that's not going anywhere. You know what, maybe I'll just write my own book, and then that way I could cover everything, and it's just an easy way to do it. So started on this flight and just started typing my story, not looking at any notes, just telling my story from being a kid and then getting into wrestling. And anytime I felt like typing, I'd pull it out and start working on it. And over time, I had a good amount written, and this was without even looking at the notes for the extra stories. And then one day I was on a flight, and I showed Chris Jericho, and there was some negative stuff in there. And I said, man, I need some advice. I lose my job if I put this out. What do you think? And he goes, well, you could take this and kind of twist this and make it more upbeat, and you could do this and kind of put a spin on it and make it funny. And I said, okay. And it just got to a point where it was just kind of hard to write because I couldn't write about certain things. So I put it down for a while. And then as soon as I was done with the company, that's when I really started getting back into it. And it was a long, long process. So there's a lot to type. There's a lot to say. I didn't know where I wanted to go with it. So once I was done with the company, that's when I really just kept working on it. And eventually, I had a good chunk, and I sent it to Ryan Nemeth, who's Dolph's brother, and he's written some books, and he's a good writer, he's a great writer, he's really funny, and he helped me do my first edit. And once I had that first edit, that really helped clean it up, because it's hard when you have a long, long, long document that you have to go through and edit, and forget what you talk about, and you can't like go through it in a day. So as I went through and did more and more edits, that's when it started coming together, and I started liking it more and getting more into it and cleaning it up towards the end. That just went through over and over and over until I was finally happy. And then once I was happy, it was past the deadline, and my editor was on vacation. And again, sorry for another long answer. Editor was on vacation, and they had to go to print. So they went to print while the editor was on vacation. So there were some mistakes, which I was pissed that there were mistakes. You know, not pissed at anyone, but just pissed in general that there were mistakes. But at the same time, I was happy that the story wasn't rushed and it was right. I felt that it was the right way to go out to press. And there were some mistakes, like a paragraph was in there twice, and there were some typos. But we fixed that when the editor came back, and they fixed it for the ebook, and then they fixed it for the second print. So, you know, now it's all good.
When you started the process, were you at all concerned that, well, is there anything legally preventing me? Did I sign anything that might prevent me from telling my story?
Oh, for sure. I sent that to my lawyer early on. And then, of course, my lawyer went through it afterwards. And my contract, because they never made me an employee, they were supposed to, but they didn't. And because they didn't, I have a different contract, and it didn't limit me as much as like an employee one might. So he read it, and he goes, I think you're like being really nice. You know, like it didn't come off to him. There was nothing. I think in his mind, he thought I was going to be going after the company, and I wasn't, and that was clear in there. He goes, you gave him a lot of credit. You're really nice to them. And so that was the thing. It wasn't like going after them and telling where the bodies are buried. It was just, right. Hey, this is my story.
Okay, non-members, that is it for the all-access portion of the Justin Roberts interview. Once again, non-members are hearing the entire 72-minute interview. I gave you the details on how to sign up for membership earlier. Just visit the main page at prowrestling.net for more details. But know that additional topics that we discussed during this interview include Vince McMahon and how much he changed from the time that Justin started until the end of his run. Also, JBL, the bullying issue, his relationship with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, and much more. And one final reminder that the Justin Roberts autobiography is now available in the UK. You can also pick it up on Amazon.com. Justin Roberts, Best Seat in the House, Your Backstage Pass Through My WWE Journey. You can check out my review of the book on the main page at ProWrestling.net. But highly recommended. The book has received really good reviews from readers and critics alike, and I definitely urge you to check it out. Coming up tomorrow on the All Access Daily Podcast, Triple H's conference call with the pro wrestling media. Until then, thank you so much for listening. Take care.